revenues are showing tremendous growth. We're averaging a little over 12 grand more per game to the bottom line. And I'm bringing this up to attribute that to some of the investments that have been made to the building in the past. It was primarily for Sun Belt Conference, but as outlined with the video boards, the Wi-Fi system, the POS system, it's improved our experience and our operations there overall as a whole.
Michael Katz, who is the manager of the Bay Center, talking at the Tourism Development Council meeting and explaining that the changes that were made for the Sun Belt Conference demands to the Bay Center have also turned into profits for the Bay Center related to Ice Flyers games, $12,000 more. Remember, this is a facility that is owned by Escambia County, so this is not some private operation. It's, you know, we have people contracted to operate it for us, and of course we have member organizations who rent it out, like, and, you know, and pay fees and whatnot, like the Ice Flyers. But the conversation for years, I mean, as long as I have been here, has been 10 years. As long as I have been here, the conversation has been, do we need to repair substantially the Bay Center? Do we need to upgrade and retrofit and modernize the Bay Center? Do we need to build a whole new entertainment sports venue? Do we need to demolish the Bay Center and build on its old footprint and build it somewhere? Right? And we've had loads of conversations about this over the years. Where we're at right now is there was a study done that said, okay, you really want to fix the Bay Center? $132 million. You want to sort of mostly fix it? $70 million, right? You want to limp along and just not have the thing, you know, fall apart while you're driving it, so to speak? $10 million. And the Escambia County Commissioner's like, sold at 10. You know, sort of. That's where the conversation has been. Which, look, it, you know, $130 million is a choke on it price, right? I mean, that's an enormous. And then you got Mobile recently says $300 million to destroy our old facility and build a whole new one. Done. Like, sirs, why? Why make it so hard? So that basically the Bay Center came to the TDC with the request of $10 million, a recommendation that they permit $10 million of tourism development money, the idea being that the Bay Center is a generator of tourism. Right, it puts heads in beds is the phrase we use for the bed tax. That's where the money for the TDC comes. It's TDT money, goes to fund what the TDC oversees. And so they came for $10 million, and Jim Reeves says, why would you only ask for $10
million? Why did you just ask for $10
million? That's what we're here to ask for, sir.
No, I said, why did you just ask for that? Why didn't you ask for the $72 million?
The feedback that we received going through with staff with the county conversations was that 72 number was too large of an ask. So
but that was just strictly county staff.
Correct.
And he says, look, go big or go home. Ask for the moon. Maybe you get, I don't know, I don't know what the comeback from ask for the moon is. you know, ask for the sun, maybe you get the moon.
All we're doing is recommending, and I mean, right. All I can do is cut it back to
Mr. Chairman.
$10 million. I mean, you know, we've got a white elephant that, I mean, we either ought to step up and do it or forget it. In other words, this is a request that the county has taken down from that great big report to $10 million. Why? Why don't we go bigger?
Go bigger. Ask for more. Ronnie Rivera, also a member of the council.
I do agree with that sentiment, Mr. Reeves. It is concerning to me that Mobile is going to spend around $300 million for a venue, and we're piecemealing something out. And if that's what we're going to do, I think we all need to be on the same page if we're putting a Band-Aid on the subject. I think, you know, I've been very vocal about the Bay Center since I've been here. I'd like to see something great for our community. But if you're telling me also, I mean, it becomes a little bit more challenging if you say, no matter what we do, we've got to have the $10 million. No matter what happens, we have to do that. I'm like you. Why don't we just see a full package and then make a decision? If it's just a recommendation, right?
And that was kind of the theme, is we don't really get final sign-off on this decision. It's really going to come from the Escambia County Commissioners. And so why can't we be just a little bit aggressive, a little bit optimistic, a little bit, you know, let's swing for the fences. Maybe we get a single. I don't know. The metaphors are just, you know, they're there. Anyway, so Jim Reeves says, yeah, let's, we don't get to approve this anyway. Let's ask for what we really think would be good.
Here's the way I look at it. If I was going to ask somebody for something and I had a choice of 10 million or 132, I'm going to ask for the 132 because I'm a big spender when I don't have any control over the spending of the money anyway.
Which is kind of a tell, right? I mean, that's kind of a telling viewpoint. Sort of sounds like I don't even get to control the money. Might as well ask for too much. And I don't think that's what he's saying. I think what he's saying is, hey, if the commission wants to say no, they can say no. You know, if they want to say no to 132 and get us what we really want, or and even then 132 is not get us what we really want. I mean, what we really want is a new building. That's what we really want. But $500 million, you know, is a lot of money. But if you ask for, you know, I don't know, Christmas and you're like, Mom and Dad, can I have a bicycle? Can't afford a bicycle, so I'll settle for a skateboard. You know, like it's that kind of a, you know, give me the 132 and maybe you get the 70. And if you don't, you're still going to get the 10 that has to be spent unless you're just going to like blow it up and say we don't need a convention center or, you know, or event space whatsoever.
Well, you mentioned Mobile, $300 million right now. Talking with the architects that we're working with Populous, if we were to start that process now and getting into building in 2026, 2027, you're looking at a $500 million project to build a brand new building. So this is presenting an option that could be $50 million to get another 15, 20 years useful, good useful life, reinvent the building a little bit to where it gives opportunities what people are looking for in a venue with club space, premium options, additional seating, those kinds of things. So one-fifth of the price for that. We're just trying to give that option.
So, again, that's Michael Capps, and, you know, the grand price tag, if you had to actually build a new convention space, you know, $500 million, he thinks. $300 million is what Mobile's going to do, but that's today. You know, what about in a couple of years by the time construction costs go off? And just for perspective, okay, just for perspective, like the whole budget of the entire county in a year, $790, $750, somewhere in that vicinity, I believe. Oh, I'm going super on memory. I should have looked it up before I came on the air today. I didn't. The price of the 3 Mile Bridge was bid at $400. I think it winds up coming in that vicinity at $500 million. Okay. So you could buy the entire rights to all of KISS forever for $300 million, right? Which is, you know, about one hundredth of a Twitter. I don't need to try to, these numbers, it's hard to put your brain around them. Like, what do they really mean? $500 million is a lot of money. It's really a lot of money. But having a new building is something that they really do want because, you know, as Ronnie Rivera points out, look, we think about the money we're spending, but then again, if we don't compete effectively for shows, for example, with Mobile, then they're going to get the bed taxes that we would get. And people aren't going to be coming here as much anymore. And that's going to cost our hoteliers money. Okay. And it's also, the hoteliers don't get the bed tax, but the hoteliers get the bed sales. And then we get the bed tax. And so the question is, you know, how much bed tax do we generate by putting various amounts of money into the Bay Center? And I will say, you know, over the time that I have been here, generally speaking, the Bay Center doesn't, I mean, certainly doesn't pay for itself. And the question of putting that kind of money into it really raises the issue of, well, we'd love to have it, but can we really afford to have it? And to what degree does our desire to have bigger, better, more appropriate spaces for these concerts, because that's one of the things that comes up a lot, is that the Bay Center was built for the demands of the day. It doesn't really fit the demands of today, and so we lose a lot of shows that might come here if we had a better facility. And obviously we're losing the tax money and the economic benefit of those, you know, events and just the coolness of, you know, being a place where these shows kind of come. And basically the problem is that the Bay Center just isn't suited to modern demands by shows, whether it's with the way the roof won't handle the weight of various things that they want to put up above, or whether it's the ramp access, or whether it's the shape of the seating, or, you know, the size in some ways too big and also too small. Cadillac Banks, who was there for other reasons yesterday to promote Jazz Fest and asked for $150,000 for that, says,
I'm with Michael 100%. I use that Bay Center. And I talked to a whole lot of promoters throughout the country that has really great big shows, and try to convince them to come to Pensacola. But when they look at the facility, they'd rather go to the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans. They'd rather go to State Farm Arena in Atlanta, you know, because we don't have all the stuff that you actually require to have in a building to support these type of hard hitting. We could have Beyonce, we could have any of these major acts if we just do something with that Bay Center. You know, that'll be able to draw these people in here. And if you can draw these people in, the Carrie Underwoods of the world, the county can make a whole lot of tax dollars off of that.
Jimmy, you're a musician. you know a lot more about these things than I do. Can we get Beyonce to Pensacola with the right building?
I don't think Beyonce is coming to Pensacola.
I also think that seems a bit of a stretch.
That does. Maybe Carrie Underwood.
Maybe, yeah, right. I mean, even a renovated, modern, appropriately configured is still too small, in my opinion, for a Beyonce or, you know, Taylor Swift or, you know.
Well, these people play at NFL stadiums.
Right. And sell out.
Yeah.
Three nights. Yeah. You know, so I think that's probably unlikely. But I do agree with him that Mobile is, you know, highly competitive, and Mobile is becoming even more competitive because they're building a new facility, and that's going to make it easier to go to Mobile and hope the Pensacolians come over instead of coming to Pensacola. And, you know, how many people come from Mobile to Pensacola concerts?
The complaints I'm hearing from the art, not from just the artists, from the production staff and all the people that you put together to produce these festivals and concerts, we need to do something about the building. You know, I mean, he's right on time. I mean, $10 million sounds like a lot of money, but it's way, way less. Mobile killing us. Mobile is killing us on all shows. They are killing us. They just killing us all the way around. And our money, our back tax dollars that we have end up going all the way to Alabama. That, to me, that just don't make good business sense to me, when we can have the same identical thing here in Pensacola, Florida.
Well, again, but at what price tag, right? You know, at $130 million. I mean, losing bed tax sucks. Losing business revenue and restaurant and hotel revenue and other things that people do when they come here, it's not pleasant. But does it justify $70 or $130 million, right? And, you know, is Mobile really that much more competitive for these things than us? I tend to think of us as separate markets. I know they're the nearest competitor, but I don't necessarily, you know, and I don't think I know enough about this space to say for sure. But I will say this. One of the things that came up from the conversation yesterday also was Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports talking about, or actually it's not yesterday, this was Tuesday, was talking about the Sun Belt Conference, which we love having here. But the problem with the Sun Belt Conference is they also are on the chopping block if we can't make dramatic. We already made big changes to the Bay Center for them. It's not enough.
Here's a very simple economic impact report on Sunbelt Conference basketball. We had a five-year contract. We've run through four of our five. It's been made exceedingly clear a few points to both us and Michael at the Bay Center from the Sunbelt Conference staff. And one is, if we don't do something about the Bay Center, after 5 years, they're gone. That's 100% fact, right? Michael, 100% fact.
So he says it's clear that unless we make major upgrades to the Bay Center, they're not going to come back. They will take the $10 million as a signal that we are committed to the Bay Center improvements, but they really want to see either that 70 or that 130. But the good news is the Sun Belt wants to be here.
And the other fact is they want to be in Pensacola for another 5, if not 10 years, and they are honestly waiting for this vote sitting in New Orleans right now to see what the commitment is from our county going forward with this building to finish negotiations for another 5 year to bring to, for us to bring forward and settle.
So in the end, the TDC settled for the initial ask. They didn't follow the swing big. They just went home, which I don't necessarily disagree with. I'm just saying that's what they decided, is the $10 million. And then, you know, to continue the conversation about the 70 or the 132. I will say this one thing about Jim Reeves saying, you know, ask for the big amount and then let the Board of County Commissioners say no. I'm not sure that the county commissioners are eager to be the bad guys in this situation, right? Because if you say no to what the TDC asked for, then you look like, you know, well, mom said yes, but dad said no, right? And I don't know if the county commissioners want to be the people that say no. Maybe they do. I mean, or maybe they want to be what, you know, Jim Reeves might consider to be the heroes. You know, maybe they want to be the ones who are like, well, they recommended 10, but I think we ought to go for 70. But I do not think that in an election year, the three county commissioners who are up for reelection, Jeff Bergosh, Stephen Barry, and Lumen May, are real eager to come out and be the ones to say we're going to spend $70 or $130 million on this aging, failing, small facility that isn't really what anybody wants. Not right now. But we'll see. You know, that's up to them to make the decision. 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pete Salvato at Only Choice Healthcare cannot help you with gas prices or rising inflation, but he can help you lower the cost of your health insurance. Are you tired of paying all of your medical expenses out of pocket because you never meet your deductible? Their Freedom of Choice plan has no deductible for all outpatient services, including outpatient surgery. You pick your doctors, and it's 30 to 60% lower than Obamacare. This plan is available all year round. You can change now. And these have nothing to do with your income, so there are no surprises at tax time. If you're paying for your own health insurance, you're uninsured, or your employer coverage is just too expensive, call Pete at 352-683-3923. That's 352-683-3923. Or go to onlychoicehealthcare.com. Really, it's the only choice. Onlychoicehealthcare.com. They will customize a plan managed by you, not the government.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of the community and is always focusing on the importance of public health awareness and preparedness. For more information on resources to improve the health of your community, contact your local Escambia County Health Department online at escambiahealth.com or follow Escambia Health Department on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Healthy Escambia.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
It comes down to making out. Whenever possible, put on side one of Led Zeppelin 4.
And tell our enemies that they may take our lives.
By the hand, I wanna go faster than you ever had. According to master plans you never set, avoiding disaster.
Oh, it's such a good song from A Vision Of, in case you don't know. 529 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David.
Well, Arizona's Civil War era near-total abortion ban is still on the books. The state's House did not repeal that law Wednesday following attempts by Democrat lawmakers to do so. At the moment, the earliest the ban could be enforced is early June there. More than two dozen Google employees have reportedly been fired after sit-in protests over a project involving the company and the Israeli government. The tech news website The Verge says it obtained an internal memo from Google's head of global security saying a number of employees took over office spaces, defaced the property, and physically impeded the work of others.
Wow. At Google.
At Google.
And now they're out. Imagine that. What I think is maybe the subtext of that story that I find the more interesting is those folks apparently thought that was going to be okay. Like
right.
Their internal sense of what Google would accept or tolerate included this. I mean, how messed up must the internal culture of Google be that people could have that misexpectation?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden is endorsing House Speaker Mike Johnson's plan to provide foreign security aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan in separate bills. Democrats meet this morning to discuss it. At least two Republicans say publicly the speaker should lose his job over it.
Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene has teased using the motion to vacate against Speaker Mike Johnson. Democrats like Jared Moskowitz are floating the idea of helping Johnson keep his job.
Under no circumstance am I going to sit by and let Marjorie Taylor Greene help Vladimir Putin and President Xi.
On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
The Democrat-led Senate dismisses the House Republican case against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas without holding a trial, saying a dispute over border policy does not rise to the level of impeachment. The impeachment articles accuse Mayorkas of not enforcing the law and lying about the state of border security. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 70 degrees across the area right now. Local lottery officials say a Defuniak Springs couple attempted to alter a scratch-off ticket in a failed attempt to win $1 million. Investigators say 32-year-old Dakota Jones and his partner Kira Enders altered a 500 times the cash scratch-off, which was purchased in Defuniak Springs to make it look like a $1 million winner. Deputies say that ticket was crudely pieced together from two separate scratch-off tickets, then crudely laminated to cover the alterations. The couple then attempted to claim that prize at the Pensacola Lottery office. Jones now is charged with principal to grand theft and principal to alter a lottery ticket with intent to defraud and is being held without bond. Deputies are still looking for Enders, who will face similar charges. The U.S. Air Force Secretary admitting in testimony on Capitol Hill yesterday that less than a third of F-35s built by Lockheed Martin are operationally capable. With Eglin Air Force Base in mind, Congressman Matt Gaetz accused the Pentagon of giving too much power to defense contractors, who he says are exploiting American taxpayers.
We've had conversations with the CEO of Lockheed.
I appreciate those conversations. I've always found you to be the truth teller. You're always very honest with the committee and straightforward. The problem is the tail here is wagging the dog, and it's not going to get better unless there's accountability for the fact that their planes don't fly.
And Gaetz says the government needs to demand accountability and get more of those F-35s up and running. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves is asking the city council to reallocate $100,000 of American Rescue Plan funds. The purpose, though, to pay an outside consultant who will provide a report detailing what the maintenance needs are at city-owned parks.
We're trying to get out of this habit of major maintenance problems have found me. I'd like to find them.
Reeves says that they know the financial number will be enormous, but it'll allow for informed decisions on maintenance and renovations as they move forward. This comes after the controversy that came out of the decision to tear down the Malcolm Young Gym, which Reeves blamed on years of neglect. Well, the truth will set us free. That from Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday after he signed a bill requiring schools to teach about the dangers and the evils of communism. He signed SB 1264 on the 63rd anniversary of the Bay of Pigs invasion. The governor said he won't allow Florida students to live in ignorance or be indoctrinated by communist apologists at schools. And Florida's two NHL teams will be facing off in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Florida Panthers taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning in a best of seven series. Game one set for Sunday in Sunrise. This will be the third time that the Cats and the Bolts have battled in the playoffs. Tampa Bay won the first two matchups in 2021 and 22. The Panthers are the favorites this time, though, as they won the Atlantic Division, the Lightning playing as a wild card. It's 534 News Radio, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful but cloudy day today. Temperatures warming up near 80 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, staying warm. Temperatures near 66. For Friday, sunshine will return, warming up in the afternoon near 82 degrees for your high. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65. On Saturday, beautiful weather continues with peaks of sunshine, high near 82. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we have cloudy and 68 in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 67 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. U.S. Steel and Japanese buyer Nippon Steel have announced the Pittsburgh-based firm will remain an American-owned company. The news arrived hours after President Biden vowed to block Nippon's planned $14.9 billion acquisition. The Japanese firm had promised the company's name would remain unchanged, no workers would be laid off, and no plants would close as a result of the purchase. Biden is also pushing to triple the Chinese tariff on metal imports. Tesla CEO Elon Musk has sent an internal email telling staffers the company sent out severance packages that were too low to several laid-off workers. Musk apologized and said the issue with severance packages would be corrected immediately. Tesla announced earlier this week that it would be cutting more than 10% of its global workforce. Futures are slightly higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 45, the NASDAQ lost 181, and the S&P 500 down 29. That's your money now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KellyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Don't miss the inaugural Pensacola Navy Days Night at the Museum Gala on Friday, May 17th. It'll be a night at the museum with featured speaker, retired Admiral Harry Harris. Admiral Harris was born in Pensacola and led the U.S. Pacific Command. He also served as the 23rd United States Ambassador to South Korea. The Pensacola Navy Days Night at the Museum Gala features cocktails, a seated dinner, Admiral Harry Harris, and a night of dancing under the Blue Angels. Get your tickets today at PensacolaNavyDays.com.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then, get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 539 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to the D.C. Talk himself, Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, good morning.
Great to have you. Can we start with what I think is going to come as a surprise to you? Can I surprise you? Can I shock you?
Please.
Well, the city council voted to approve the rate increase for downtown parking from 50 cents an hour to an hour. And the ultimate plan, as I understand it, is that you want to move that from ordinance into the budgeting process eventually, which will mean that you can make adjustments to different places. You can also put in that variable parking rate that you've been talking about through the app, and that ultimately this can be decided every year or whatever, as opposed to being done through an ordinance. The raise from 50 cents to a dollar an hour, I support. I agree. I know this is probably like pick me up off the floor kind of stuff, but
it is.
Yeah. So I, you know me, okay. I want a lot of free parking and I will never pay to park. Y'all can have it. But I do agree that if you're going to have the paid parking, right? If I've lost that slice of the argument, once I've lost that slice of the argument, 50 cents is ridiculous. that's too cheap.
Right.
A dollar or even $2 an hour is a very common, normal, sensible kind of rate. If you're going to have paid parking, that makes sense to me. So did I surprise you this morning?
You did. And I agree. The point is, it's 50 cents is kind of the worst of both worlds, right?
Right.
I mean, you have to go through the process. You have to pay for it. You got to go find the meter. You got to find the QR code. And then you're really not helping the city generate any revenue to come fix those parking spaces
right.
or lighting or anything. You know, so you're really not accomplishing what the goal would be of the city for your sacrifice for that user fee. So,
and you're not turning over the space because nobody's moving because the car costs
correct.
50 cents an hour.
And to be honest with you, you know, if that's one thing that we're going to be paying attention to is, as our study showed, you know, our size based on our household income here, we looked at all of that data. The projection was we should be about $1.70 an hour. I didn't want to do that to people. You know, I want us to make sure that we get there. But is it possible that if we're still almost, you know, priced half of what we should be, that we don't see the turnover that we want? That's possible. But certainly we're going to play that out first before we jump the gun and go to something, you know, more expensive. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and there's a letter to the editor that mentioned, well, why can't parking be like Fairhope? Or someone will say, hey, you know, this is why I don't go downtown, because we charge for parking.
Right.
Well, I hate to say it, but we have 30% more people than 2 years ago downtown. So what I'm saying, that is the issue at hand, is that there's such demand downtown now. So that may be that one person's opinion, and that's perfectly fine. But what the data is showing us is we are seeing explosive growth of people who want to be downtown, and we got to do something to help control that and help plan for the future with those dollars and be able, whether it's a parking garage, whether it's safety measurements, cameras, all those things, you know, we've got to be able to start projecting for what the future of downtown is. And I think this is a start.
The second phase, or what I'm calling the second phase of your plan, which would be maybe third or fifth phase really by this point, but which would be to expand the hours of coverage into the evening, especially because we know that's the time when there's no charge, and yet that's the time where there's the most demand for the scarcity, but also expanding the territory, which the plan is to suck up more of the free spaces and make them into paid spaces. What's the time frame for either or both of those ideas?
We're looking at some point this summer, and I always forget to say this. I'm not a good PR person for myself sometimes. There will still be hundreds and hundreds, thousands, I believe, multiple thousands of free spaces that the city operates. So, you know, when we start talking about paid parking, everyone gets in their mind that means all free parking is going away. That is absolutely not the case. There'll be significant on-street parking. It just may not be right in front of the building you want to go to. So that will still happen even with these policy changes. But, going hours to midnight and then extending some geography will probably take place somewhere in that June, July timeframe. We'll have a better idea when we get a little closer. The good news is we're fully on to the Park Mobile app. That's been great. We've gotten enormous positive feedback with that, which was the number one concern for me for that customer experience, to make sure before we start charging more and before we start changing policy, we want to make sure we make it as easy as possible on the customer. So we're happy with that first phase and how that's gone so far. And then we'll see what happens from there. But I think at the end of the day, what we're going to end up with is the ability to do a better job of taking care of our infrastructure, do a better job of making it easy on everybody. And that's what they want. They want to be able to find a space, and they want to be able to make it easy for the transaction. That's what
Right.
the survey told us. And that's what we're focused on.
And you know, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I love your plan to make it enticing for red lot owners to come onto the blue lot system. And that would actually wind up being a price decrease for most consumers and a much more convenient system and not have to deal with booting and all of that. So those are all to the good.
Correct.
The Escambia Children's Trust. This last week, Lindsay Cannon had made the announcement that the goal is to create as many as 10 new community partnership schools over the course of the next 5 years to a year at a $300,000 or $400,000 a piece price tag. That is something within the financial power of the Escambia Children's Trust to do. But footnote two, Kevin Adams on the school board says, hey, Board of County Commissioners and City of Pensacola, if you could just see fit to not require the Escambia Children's Trust to pay the CRA tax slice and instead let that money flow to them, we could do an even better job of funding these community partnership schools. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, a couple things. First, I had a meeting with Lindsay for about an hour and a half in my office yesterday to talk through, you know, what the potential of that would look like. Let me back up and say this. There isn't a town hall, there isn't a public speaking engagement that I go to with a Q&A where I don't get asked about the educational outcomes here. And as it's kind of like parking, I say the same thing. I'm tired of saying that's not my job, you know, and it's all of our job, right? I mean, the school board directly, but if we want businesses to move here, if we want jobs to be created here, they look at the quality of the school system. I mean, that is a reality of this position I'm in, regardless of what authority I have over it. And so we've got to start getting serious about that. And so as I said to her, look, I'm completely open-minded. If there's something that can help city children and it's a proven outcome, like a community school, you remember Dr. Thomas, Kim Thomas was on my transition team. She's running Weiss. So she's very familiar with that. I'm loosely familiar with all of the progress. Of course, I've seen the results of how great things have gone there as a community school. So I'm certainly open-minded about that. If we're saying, do we need more resources to help the children of the city? We absolutely do. But if for those dollars, which I still do believe by legally speaking, those are CRA dollars, I'm more than willing to look at being collaborative, be it the school district, the Children's Trust, and how we would make sure that those dollars are spent and spent wisely to help the kids of the city. So,
are you a supporter of the community partnership school concept?
I am. Yeah.
Very good. Excellent.
Yeah, so I mean, so we'll look at that. You know, there's a lot of nuance that would go into that. You know, we're going to continue to expand on our conversations, but absolutely, we got to have results at the end of the day. We can't just say, I can't say as the mayor just because it's not the school district doesn't fall under me that it's not our job. We've got to do something, and if there's something we can do that's positive, then we're going to certainly take a look at it.
By the way, we've got a couple of texts, and while we were talking about parking, I just wanted to share one or two with you. One is somebody says, we went to the Sanger the other night, and I literally had to find a young couple to help us figure out how to pay for parking. Very embarrassing. Somebody else says, boo, Andrew. A dollar is not better. Zero is better. They've been functioning without paid parking for years. They've always had the money they've needed to follow to allow the city to develop. So much on nonsensical and useless things. This could be better spent in other parts of the city, other forms. And somebody else says, can you ask the mayor why he wants to reduce parking spaces on Palafox Place by 50%, the area between Garden and Government Street? Before I get your answer, I do need to give an appropriate, I mean, if you're going to boo me.
Boo
me.
How fitting.
Go on, sir. Go on.
Well, a lot to cover there. But
yeah, I know.
Bottom line is free parking is only going to be free for the city residents until it's time for us to fix something, to build a parking garage that we have to bond. That's why this should be a user fee. That means the only people paying to help to improve and to maintain the infrastructure of downtown are the people who are using downtown. So, you know, that argument has a fallacy in it, in that when a problem comes and finds us downtown that we need to pay millions of dollars for or parking capacity, any of that type of stuff, should be all 55,000 people of the city be paying it, not the visitors, not the tourists, and not the people using it every day? Or should it be those people that should be the ones that are putting the wear and tear on downtown, be the ones that should be paying for it? So that's the beauty of a user fee. And so you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, what about the Palafox Place piece? That was news to me. I don't know that. And this comes from a fairly credible person.
Me too, on that count. You know, I get a lot of news delivered to me too on exactly the number of spaces. We've had conversations now for multiple years as FTL's obligation to repave. If you go down Palafox right now and you say, well, Mayor, why haven't we repaved? That's FTL's obligation when they cut the utilities in. But what we've done is we've worked hand in hand with them that if we're going to do something on Palafox, we might want to look at an opportunity, a once in a generation opportunity to do something transformational on Palafox. We are looking at taking some of the parking bays on the first block. There's a major safety issue that blocks into Garden Street when people try to parallel there.
Okay.
There's lots of issues in that. So I know I'm sure that's coming. You know, that question comes from someone who doesn't want to lose those spaces and is probably stuck in this mindset that one parking space in front of a business is the game changer. That's the difference between success and failure. We have a massive parking garage behind on Palafox.
Jefferson, yeah.
The county has one. We have plenty of parking spaces. So no number has been set. I haven't even seen a design for it yet. So, you know, let that person know. Maybe that person's seen the design and I haven't.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that's going to be part of the conversation, obviously. So I appreciate you answering that question.
Sure.
Oh, just one real quick thing, because we don't have time for a big substantial thing. One quick thing is you and I talked last week, I think, about the welcome sign coming off of Three Mile Bridge from Gulf Breeze. And we now have an RFP. It's going to be the FDOT was going to put in $370. We're using their money and the actual cost is going to be $562. And this is going to be for the Pelican Neon on the kind of the wharf pier kind of thing. And City Council is going to vote on it next week, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, you remember a while back, obviously doing anything with state roads adds another layer of complexity. So it's taken us a little longer than we had hoped. But, you know, we had that contest and you know, I want to give that contest credit. It's very rare that there could be an open public contest where it feels like 80 or 90% of people all agree. I think that's what happened in that case. So we're excited to get that up and going. And obviously, like everything else, the budget was a little high. We got to get some money reallocated. But also, FDOT, to their credit, from the previous number that they had set a few years ago, they gave us another $100,000. So to try to offset some of that cost. So we should be able to get that finally up and going, and we'll have our own welcome sign coming in off the Three Mile Bridge.
That's fantastic. Yeah, no, it's good. And that'll be the Pelican design will be where the old Five Flags Welcome Center used to be before FDOT did all
Correct.
The work, just for people who haven't been following the story. All right, well, I always like to end with the lightning round. First question is, tell me something people do on Facebook that annoys you.
Ooh, man. A bunch of single random photos, you know, 8 posts at one time with a single photo in them. You know, I think it's just a technology issue.
Oh, instead of clustered, as in one post where you can scroll through the photos, like it's one thing?
Correct.
I got you. All right. When you were in school, favorite cafeteria food?
I would say I remember vividly in my third grade at Helen Keller that square pizza with the cube pepperoni is hard to beat. It was not organic. I'm fairly certain. But
oh no, it's the best terrible food there ever has been. Cafeteria pizza. And this is an important question. Answer carefully. Dog or cat?
Oh, dog for sure. I'm definitely a dog guy. What are you?
Oh, dog. I mean, this is easy. You know, cats are something you use dogs to get rid of. Mr. Mayor, always a pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to the city council meeting next week. And, of course, Bruce Beach getting opened up a week from Saturday. That's going to be fun as well. Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Andrew. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got a home to buy or sell, or maybe both, you know, maybe you've got one to sell so you can buy another one. I mean, I don't know. Everybody's, you know, different situation. Buying for the first time, maybe selling for the first time, you know, because you got to do both those the first time, right? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they sold 175 homes last year. That works out to about 3.5 a day, or 3.5 a week. And so 3.5 a day would be good. 3.5 a week is actually still a lot, especially, you know, there's some realtors who they try real good and like one a month is good. You know what I mean? For some people. And so I'm just telling you, you know, 175 in a year is actually pretty good. They've got a whole system designed for getting it priced right and staged right and photographed right and listed online and inviting people to the open house. All like everything about that, they have got worked out to a system that produces consistent sales. Not always, but sometimes, at least even in this market, you know, multiple offers, you can even get an offer sometimes above list price. Even in this market, they're managing to get houses sold and sold very efficiently. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
I've been collecting watches since around 2018. Made my first big purchase thinking that was going to be my only watch. When you're looking at watches and you're doing them online, or if you're in the secondary market, it can be scary because there's a lot of fakes. And I really do focus in on coming into an authorized dealer like Berets for any of the Omega or Breitling purchases. They will let you try it on, take pictures, go home, think about it, and just really set your mind at ease.
Come visit us at Berets Jewelers.
Always stay sharp, alert, and ready for anything. Let the exceptional team at Jim's Firearms help you find the everyday carry knife that fits your life. They have the best brands and the largest selection of high-quality knives to choose from with lifetime warranties. Get yourself a multi-purpose knife to use for protection, hunting, fishing, or for everyday use. Keys, wallet, phone, and knife, never leave home without it. Jim's Firearms at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road at the back gate of NAS, or shop them online at jimsfirearms.net.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
He'll keep calling me. He'll keep calling me until I come over. He'll make me feel guilty. This is ridiculous, okay? I'll go.
Guess I must be dumb. Shed a pocket full of horses. Trojan and some abuse. But it was Saturday night. I guess that makes it all right. You see, what have I got to lose? Money, I said, baby, come
back. You know, some of the best movie clips I have to cut off right before the FCC says. You can't have that part in the clip. Oh, man. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, there was a big 911 outage across several states yesterday, but things are getting back to normal now. Authorities say residents in Nebraska, Nevada, South Dakota, and Texas were all unable to call 911 on Wednesday. There's no word on what led to that big failure.
Wow, that's a massive, yeah.
And the Justice Department paying over $100 million to the victims of Larry Nassar. The Wall Street Journal reports that the department agreed to make that payment as compensation for the FBI's mishandling of the investigation into the former USA Gymnastics team doctor. Over 500 women were abused by Nassar during his time working with USA Gymnastics and Michigan State University.
And just to put the numbers in perspective, $100 million there is a third of a KISS collection rights or a fifth of a new Bay Center.
Right.
Or 1/100th, not even quite, of a new aircraft carrier. I don't know, just trying to, you know.
What is it in a Twitter?
Oh, okay, quick math. 1/300, 1/1000, 1/30,000th? No, you said $100 million. No, I got it there. 1/300th.
Yeah. Okay, 1/300th of
yeah.
a Twitter.
Yeah, 1/300th of a Twitter. here's 1/300th of the shares of Twitter instead. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm these numbers, you know, most, can we start with basic observations? Most people don't love math. Most people don't
I
love
would
math
be one of those people.
Most people are not good at math, right?
I would also be one of those.
And the relationship between $5 and $100 people get, the relationship between $100 and $100,000 people start to become fuzzy on. When you start throwing numbers with, you know, M's and B's and T's behind them, people have no idea what that means. It's just some number that has no tether to reality. That's why I try to put it in terms of how many.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.